Curtis Sponsler and his wife live in Miami.
We're inland about maybe 15 miles, but it's...
My name is Eric from Catskill, and you're listening to WGXC Acre 90.7 FM.
You can find out about so many local events, like the traditional Irish music session. Every Sunday, there's an open Irish music...
This is the Greenville Cub Scouts, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acre, Catskill, and Hudson.
Meow.
We recommend this station.
Do you enjoy the arts? Have an interest in art classes and meeting your local creative community? Then join us at the Athens Cultural Center on the first Friday of each month from 5 to 7 p.m. View our latest exhibition over free nibbles and drinks hosted by our ACC board members and get to know us. We are at 24 2nd Street in Athens and online at athensculturalcenter.org. We look forward to meeting you.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the Office of the Governor and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the Greene County Cultural Fund, the Alexander and Marjorie Hover Foundation, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC monthly supporters, whose generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support. Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Rachel Mandenbaum in Atlanta, Georgia. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend, 'cause I've heard it all before. And I've been down there on the floor. No one's ever gonna keep me down again. Whoa, yes, I'm wise, but it's wisdom for the pain. Yes, I paid the price, but look how much I gained. If I have to, I can do anything. I am strong. It only serves to make me more determined to achieve my final goal. And I come back even stronger, not a novice any longer, 'cause you deepen the conviction in my soul. Oh, yes, I'm wise, but it's wisdom for the pain. Yes, I pay the price, but look how much I gain. If I have to,
Good evening and happy holidays. You're listening to Capital District Democratic Socialist Good Time Hour on WGXC 90.7 on your FM dial. I'm one of your hosts, Casey, with my co-host, Poche Noir, who is less obscurely and less problematically known as Bill.
C'est Poche Noir, comrades. Meilleur vœux. It's 7 p.m. on the first Tuesday of the month, so this is December 5th of 2023, or in the very excellent French Republican calendar, this is the 15th day of the month of Frimaire in the year 232. And that intro was Helen Reddy's I Am Woman from 1971, which is not just a terrific feminist anthem, but a terrific example of an anthem in general. I have to say that I really respect this song because I love how Helen Reddy judos that loaded term of embryo in the song.
You know what's so incredible? I recently learned about that song that she didn't get any support from any like local radio or any national radio. She would go and she would pitch this song and they would be like, it was literally all men. I mean, I can't say literally, I wasn't there, but I assume it was all men, and they wouldn't play it. So she basically would go on daytime television and perform her song and then tell the audience, hey, call your local station and request this song, because the audience of daytime television was all these women, all these moms, and they called it, and then they kind of forced their hand, and it ended up being a massive single,
wow,
which I think is just so cool.
Now that you say that, I think I kind of recall Helen Reddy performing that song on the Dinah Shore show.
Who was Dinah Shore?
Oh, my God. She was a wife to Burt Reynolds, and also in Buck Privates with Abbott and Costello. She was a singer, but time passed, and she actually had her own daytime afternoon show. And my recollection is that I actually saw that.
That's so fun. I hope your mom was one of the women who called.
Oh yeah, my mom was big on all of that stuff.
Hell
okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, welcome to December. This is the month that commemorates a nativity, which only women are responsible for. Tonight's show will address all things female, to include the right to end a nativity.
Okay.
These remarks made tonight reflect the opinions of whomever may be speaking them, aka myself and Bill, and not of WGXC. Also, these remarks need not reflect the opinions of anyone else in the Democratic Socialists of America. This is just Bill and I chatting it up.
And if anybody who is a DSA member is listening and they have something to add, please reach out to us. You know exactly how to get in touch with us and get on the show. If you took part in any DSA meetings, you'd see plenty of differences between members, as well as many points of agreement. The discussions involve many issues and they're extremely nuanced. There's no line to be towed by members of the DSA. We all just want to have a fair society, which we don't have. To be a DSA member, you don't have to be a, well, what I would call a, hold it, let me get my thing. You don't have to be a strict. Oh, I'm sorry. Where is it? Where's the effect? Hold it.
We're damn still it. Working on our shtick, folks.
You don't have to be a strict Marxist like myself. There
can
you go.
Can you elaborate on what you mean by that? I feel like it's been, what, 4 months now?
I consider myself a strict Marxist because I became a socialist after, all right, going out with this girl, and she was a member of, as I was, Hotel Employees, Restaurant Employees, Local 6. And she got involved with, back in the day, this is in the 80s, with what was the militant tendency, which started in England and was a Trotskyist organization. And so I remember, in particular, one day visiting with my parents and you know, when you visit with your parents, you want to get the hell out of there. So going outside, it was a nice summer day. It was a long weekend. And I sat down, and for that whole weekend, I read two works by Marx, edited and worked on by Engels as well, called Value, Price, and Profit, and Wage, Labor, and Capital.
My God, you read them? Like,
No. They are. It's not Capital. I would not recommend anybody to read Capital.
I tried. I got, like, honestly, I think I got 30 pages in, and I was like, this is the most dense.
Capital is a heavy lift. And I've read, I think, most of Capital.
Well, you're a studied man.
But these are two much shorter, more accessible works. Wage, Labor, and Capital, and Value, Price, and Profit. They're still a pretty heavy lift, but if you go through it sentence by sentence, you will be on the good foot. And ever since then, I have considered myself a strict Marxist. Now, if you're going to go in and read Capital, what was made it much easier for me is go on Vimeo or YouTube and go along with David Harvey's classes in Capital. They are filmed where he gives his class. He's been teaching Capital for decades at the City University of New York. And his classes are on video there. Makes it much more enjoyable. Breaks it down into pieces. He's terrific. So if that's your thing, do that. I remember I went through his classes on the first volume of Capital over a winter when I had nothing better to do. Actually, it was the best thing I could have done. I recommend that to anybody who's got the interest.
Yeah, I definitely am curious. I'm probably going to have to re-listen and remember his name. What, David?
David Harvey.
Harvey.
H-A-R-V-E-Y.
Got it. Yeah, I'm not a studied socialist.
My fantasy is that someday quitting my job and enrolling in his classes in person. But
that's
just
not
a fantasy.
Your fantasy. Your fantasy is becoming a cowboy, Bill. Don't lie to the listeners.
Okay. That's true. That's true, too. But I have many. I have many.
Okay.
Okay. Now, we're going to talk about feminist issues, in particular abortion this evening. But we would be remiss, since there are plenty of women and female children getting killed in Palestine, if we didn't talk about Palestine tonight. Just a little bit.
I mean, it feels so wrong to not touch upon the current genocide happening. I mean, in Palestine, obviously, and in the Congo and in other places as well, but it sucks to be part of this system where we feel very powerless, but we're not right now, and there are things that people can be doing, but we need to at least acknowledge what's happening.
I think, but to make it a little more optimistic, even though it's hard to be optimistic about a genocide and cultural extinction.
Scared to see
was
where
it
this
a month ago,
go.
Maybe a month and a half ago? Everybody thought a ceasefire was impossible.
How disgusting is it? Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. We got to
And now
positive.
It's like obvious.
I know, but they're not even really ceasefiring. But regardless, you're right. There is less death toll as a result, which is positive.
I'm just talking about the popularity of it.
True.
It seems that the popular opinion is that a ceasefire is absolutely on the table and necessary. A month or so ago, nobody really wanted to talk about it.
That's true. That is true. And I mean, it does come down. I tried to talk to my dad about this. If you're listening, Dad, I love you. But making these calls, calling your representatives, calling your senators, calling the people who we vote into power and we employ, essentially, and telling them how we feel and calling for ceasefire and calling for action does make a difference. It's how we got here, where ceasefire is significantly more popular than it was.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's a lot of bad going on in the government, like the current bill in the House. I have it written down here. Resolution 894. There's a lot of bad, but that is a specific resolution where you can call up your representatives and be like, I implore you to not vote yes to that. Like, that is a disgusting bill, and you do have a say in things. Unfortunately, we talked about this a bit in our electoral conversation with Natalia, where we as citizens don't have a lot of power, but we do have power in being able to make these calls. Like, we obviously, Bill and I both are very fed up with the system we live under, but as long as we live under the system, and mm-hmm. we will continue to live under the system, we have to do what we can, and what that includes is calling representatives, showing up, you know, going to actions and supporting the people of Palestine in any way you can, whether that be financially or otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Let me lay on you my personal philosophy about something. I don't believe anybody when they tell me what's in their heart. I believe I judge people by their conduct. And I look at the actions of the Israeli Defense Forces mm-hmm. and of Israel in general. And I look and say, haven't you already proved to everybody that this is a matter of settler colonialism and extermination? It's exactly what they're doing is no different than Wounded Knee.
I mean, it's been on the table for 75 years now. 1949 mm-hmm. is when it started.
Mm-hmm.
As long as my dad has been alive, they have been killing Palestinians in Israel.
I gotta raise one thing though, and
or not
I might
Israel,
get into
Palestine.
Trouble for this. However, I look at Gaza and I go, you know what nobody thinks about? That's waterfront property.
Jeez. I mean, I'm sure the people living on the water might be like, wow, this is amazing.
I bet that the Israeli government is looking at that and going, wow, how do they end up with that?
Oh, probably.
We've got to get
that. They're the most staunch capitalists. Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the West created them.
And look at Trump.
When the whole thing
started, he was like almost praising Hamas for its actions. And, of course, because if he gets a chance to build a hotel in Hamas, build a hotel in Gaza, you know, it's waterfront property.
It is fascinating what you said, and this brings up a conversation I had with a friend of mine who is a member of the IWW, but mm-hmm. you're talking about this to a certain extent and other things, just like goings on in Catskill and just... I mean, it's a conversation. It's a larger conversation that I would love to have at some point, but it essentially boiled down to he doesn't believe in a deeper down of a person. He doesn't believe that, like, oh, deep down, these people are good. Because it's like, if you suck on the forefront, then that tells me all I need to know about you, which is kind of the same, like, it, mm-hmm. if, like,
I'm down.
It's their actions.
I am completely down with what you're with what that person is talking about.
Yeah.
Whatever people say about what's in their hearts or their souls, if it doesn't jive with their conduct is tops.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that you can say that about people now. And I think, like, I'll probably rustle some feathers, at least within my circle, because I live in a very conservative little area. But mm-hmm. if you're looking the other way, or if you're being apolitical to a genocide, like, that says a lot about your character. Like, you may mm-hmm. love people and want to go out of your way for, I don't know, your community. But if you're looking the other way to people getting slaughtered in their homes for the crime of living in a location, like, you're
mm-hmm.
you got to do a lot of reflecting. And I guess that's where we're at.
I hear that. Okay. Shall we get back to feminism and play another feminist anthem?
Yeah. Let's
try this one.
Let's hear it.
Roads divide. Step two, learning how to lie. Let me ask a boys tell you they're a big man. To all my sisters. Blessed with an enemy. Oh, my, 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 my armor comes from you. You make me try, 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 try.
We're back from that musical break, and all right. So, given some consequences in the last month or so, Casey and I haven't got any guest speakers tonight. It's just going to be some music and loose discussion from myself and Casey.
Yeah, sorry, Leanna. We had a guest, Leanna Ziles, who is brilliant and will come on to talk in the future. But unfortunately, we had planned to interview her this weekend, and I got very sick. So we will reschedule that. I mean, obviously, this is a conversation that will never stop evolving, unfortunately, as long as it's contested in this country. So we'll have lots to say, and Leanna is a massive wealth of knowledge, so we'd love to bring her back. But tonight it's just you and me, Bill.
Okay. So I guess from my male perspective, I have been doing some thinking about abortion. And this is a very 18th century kind of argument that was made about American independence. And it had something to do, and I have to look this up, but I can't find out where I had the argument in the first place, that when it comes to every particular personal instance of something, that when it becomes generalized and political, if it is a unified thing in every personal instance, when it becomes a generalized political thing, that it has to reflect that entirely. And so that's not a great way of explaining it.
Yeah,
but
I'm not. I kind of followed what you're saying.
Okay. In other words, if something is universal in every specific personal instance, when it comes to making something legal or general, it can't be any different from that. So, in thinking about abortion, not my own suspected abortion, which obviously I survived.
And we're so glad about it.
Well, I'm not sure I'm so glad about it, but about abortion in general. In every particular individual case of a pregnancy, a father's knowledge completely depends, in every practical way, upon the mother first having informed him of his paternity. Do you agree with me on that?
Yeah. I mean,
a person is not a father.
In a practical way, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So a guy is never going to know that he's a daddy unless a mommy tells him so. So in every pregnancy, a man's authority as father-to-be will always depend upon the mother's first choosing to let him to know about that presence, about the pregnancy. Then, I'm going to be pompous and say a fortiori, which means perforce, going from what is universal in every specific case to a general case is not a large leap. As a matter of fact, I don't think it's any leap whatsoever. That the decision whether to allow all pregnancies to go forward, that is, to allow abortions, is a decision only to be made by women. I'm not saying that maybe men don't have to be heard, but only women should have the power to vote on it.
Yeah, I mean, the woman is the judge and the jury. It's her friggin'
body. That's right. And if I'm not mistaken, in the recent decision to overturn abortion, even though Amy Coney Barrett agreed with it, I believe the women on the court, if you just take their votes, we would still have Roe v. Wade today.
It just doesn't. I can't wrap my mind around that this is like a topic of conversation to be had. And it wasn't a topic. I mean, it was obviously. And when did Roe v. Wade pass? 1973.
Something like that. Early 70s.
Yeah. I just don't understand. Like, I feel like these political arguments weren't a topic of conversation for a long time. And I feel like I should preface this by saying, like, I am 29 years old. I have only lived in...
I would never have asked.
Thank you. But, like, I just feel like it informs a lot of my worldview. Because, like, I've never... Especially in New York. Like, we codified it into our state law, like, 2019 or so. Is that true? I think... If I'm wrong, don't quote me on it.
We'll get Leanna here. She'll tell us all about it.
Yeah. But, like, I don't know. I just feel like a lot of my, like, I've lived in New York and only lived in New York and, or lived abroad. And, like, I've always had this be an option for me. And I've always had, you know, reproductive rights in every regard offered to me within my life. So it has informed my worldview. And I just can't fathom, like, why anybody gets a say in it. Like, I was talking to my partner today, coincidentally, like, and we weren't talking about abortion in any regard, but I was just, like, talking to a friend of mine who had a really terrible pregnancy, and I was like, would you, if we had a baby, would you carry the baby? And he was like, hell no.
What guy would ever? Of course.
And I was like, well, how is that fair? So we agreed on hoping for the science to get to a place where we can just have like an incubator, like an egg.
You see, that's all right. You brought that up. That is one of my problems, actually, with Roe v. Wade.
Oh, really?
So Roe v. Wade in the decision divides the pregnancy up into trimesters. Okay. The first trimester, it is, you know, it's completely between the mom and her doctor. Not the mom and the doctor and the dad, the mom and the doctor.
And what are, how long are the trimesters? They're 12 weeks each? No, that can't be true. Is it? Okay.
It's a, yeah.
I know so little about pregnancy. It's kind of embarrassing as a almost 30-year-old woman, but continue.
Okay. may you have that blissful, may you continue in that blissful ignorance.
And it is my right.
That's right. So, and in the second trimester, this is what Roe v. Wade says, that it's for the life and health of the mother. And in the third trimester, a state has an interest in the viable fetus, which is a little Orwellian.
Yeah.
It's the state's interest, and a state may forbid abortion in the last trimester. Now, me...
I wasn't aware of that language. That's interesting.
For me, I'm like, I think it's... A woman should be able to have an abortion, I guess, until her water breaks. I don't care. It's hers.
Yeah.
Until the baby is born. As a matter of fact, that's why there's a specific statute called abortion, and it's not a subdivision of murder. You cannot murder anybody until they are born alive.
That's really fascinating, because I feel like I can foresee a lot of really annoying people trying to rip that apart, but I won't play the devil's advocate, because devil's advocates suck. I just had a thought.
Please, lay it on me.
Well, it's gone now. What about, like, what was it there? I recently read a headline, and recently, by the way, can mean up to 2 years ago. I have no context of time anymore.
Okay.
My brain is mush. But a woman in Ohio was threatened to be taken to court over having a late stage miscarriage. And I guess where would that fall under Roe v. Wade?
But she didn't cause the miscarriage.
She didn't cause the miscarriage.
So in other words, she was accused.
Yeah, she was accused. Yeah. Obviously, she didn't cause a miscarriage. Uh-huh. One of the most traumatic experiences a woman could ever go through is a miscarriage. And to be dragged through that and then be dragged to court because a state has an interest in the fetus is Orwellian, to say the least.
You know, we think that we live in a free society, but...
Do we? Do we think that?
Well, society thinks to say so, but...
Life, liberty...
You can be living on your farm in Indiana, whatever it is, and the state can come in and say, we're going to have a draft, and you're going to be taken, you're going to be put in some foxhole, and some night, you know, and you're going to be sitting there wondering when the enemy's going to be cutting your throat. What kind of, you know, and you don't have any, you say you have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, but our liberties are not really what they say that they are. They're not as extensive as they are claimed to be.
Yeah, it's well, it's also scary because, like, I mean, we in New York are protected. I mean, it is codified into our law. Like, a woman has a right to an abortion in the state, at least up into a certain point. But, like, we do. What about our sisters or people who are able to carry children in Ohio or in...
Oh, you mean red state women?
Exactly. Or in Pennsylvania.
Oh,
like
my God. Look.
But, like, also, like, we say we'll bring them here, and this was a big thing when Roe v. Wade was appealed in, or repealed, rather, in, June of last year at this point?
Yeah.
a lot of the conversations around our reproductive rights committee in the DSA was like, how do we help women without access the way we are? And it was, you know, bringing them to New York and putting them up and funding them and like giving them
all the hoops that now women
support,
have to go through.
Mutual aid support, absolutely. But it also is tied into healthcare, because our healthcare system in New York is in shambles. And like, I guess I'm about to go on a tangent because like everything is so interconnected in New York. But like, I'm literally looking at a headline from the Times Union right now that says officials say upstate New York health infrastructure is in danger. But like, why are all these mergers happening with like Albany Med or like CDPHP and community care? It all comes down to the dollar. So like, we're protected, but we're not in many ways. And it's very scary. And I don't really have a point to that other than to be like, that's really terrible.
What's the point? The point is we should have passed the New York Health Act.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
But it affects
or Medicare for All, even better.
Medicare for All, at the very least.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I can't even imagine. I mean, to put your shoes, put my shoes in my feet in the shoes of a woman in a red state, let's say a young woman in a red state. Wow, that's just how perilous sexual intercourse must be.
Honestly, yeah. My anecdotally, I can say this because I know that she'll never listen to this because she lives in Florida and is 85. But my grandmother in the UK had an abortion when she was very young, when she was 16, with my grandpa, because she was forced to, and it like almost killed her. And then
you mean an illegal abortion?
An illegal abortion, and it almost killed her. And she was very staunchly, you know, pro women's rights for a long time as a result of that. And it's just really scary because like, that was such a harrowing and traumatizing experience that carried with her through the rest of her life. And that's something that we are potentially, you know, coming back, or we're not even potentially, I'm sure it's happening around the country. Like we can't assume it's not, you know? But I also know many women like who've had legal abortions who are equally as traumatizing, because it's not an easy procedure in the slightest.
And can you imagine being a woman in a red state who, I guess now, has to find either an abortionist who's willing to do it undercover, or who has to now find an out-of-state abortionist in some blue state?
And like find support and find the funds to get there.
All this investigation, you know, it's like.
Ooh. Yeah, just for something that is going to literally change
your
life.
Let's call them Pregnancy Drew. Because they have to do all this investigation. What do you say about that?
I support it. It's a terrible.
That's like, a terrible term, but I'm going to use it anyway.
We're coining it here. Those pregnancy poor pregnancy Drew. Drews. Yeah, I mean, it's a really sad topic, and it's a sad world we're living in, frankly, right now. But it's not all helpless. Let's maybe take a musical break.
Okay. And I know that you were a fan of the Spice Girls once upon a time.
Once upon a
Girl
time.
Girl power.
Today.
All right, let's go
today
for it.
Today and forever.
Easy, but that's the way it is. If you wanna be my lover, you gotta get with my friends. Make it last forever. Friendship never ends. If you wanna be my lover, you have got to give. Taking is too easy, but that's the way it is.
So here's the story from A to Z. You wanna get with me, you gotta listen carefully. We got M in the place, who likes it in your face. You got G like MC, who likes it on a easy V. Who doesn't come for free, she's the real lady. And as for me,
sleepy, dusty, delta day. I was out chopping cotton and my brother was baling hay. And at dinner time we stopped and walked back to the house to eat. And mama hollered at the back door, y'all remember to wipe your feet. And then she said, I got some news this morning from Choctaw Ridge. Today, Billy Joe McAllister jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge. And Papa said to Mama as he passed around the black-eyed peas, oh, Billy Joe never had a liquor since. Pass the biscuits, please. There's 5 more acres in the lower 40 I got to plant. And Mama said it was a shame about Billy Joe. Seems like nothing ever comes to no good up on Choctaw Ridge. Billy Joe McAllister jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge. Brother said he recollected when he and Tom and Billy Joe put a frog down my back at the Carroll County Picture Show. And wasn't I talking to him after church last Sunday night? I'll have another piece of apple pie. You know, it don't seem right. I saw him at the sawmill yesterday up on Choctaw Ridge. And now you tell me Billy Joe's jumped off. Bridge. Mama said to me, child, what's happened to your appetite? Well, I've been cooking all morning and you haven't touched a single bite. That nice young preacher, Brother Taylor, dropped by today. He said he saw a girl that looked a lot like you up on Choctaw Ridge. And she and Billy Joe was throwing something up the Tallahatchie Bridge. A year has come and gone since we heard the news about Billy Joe. Brother married Becky Thompson. They bought a store in Tupelo. There was a virus going round. Papa caught it and he died last spring. And now Mama doesn't seem to want to do much of anything. And me, I spend a lot of time picking flowers up on Choctaw Ridge. Into the muddy water of the Tallahatchie Bridge.
Okay, now that is a terrific narrative song. That is Ode to Billy Joe, not Wannabe. We can't figure out what Zigga Zigga is in Wannabe.
I think we all have our own definition of Zigga Zigga.
Okay, very good. So what's going on in that song? So she's pregnant with Billy Joe McAllister's baby, and she can, like, keep it a secret? Is that what's going on, even at the dinner table?
You know, honestly, it's you have a very interesting interpretation, because when I've listened to that song, I've never gleaned that she's pregnant.
What are they throwing off the bridge then?
I thought it was always him. I thought he was killing himself.
But he did kill him. He throws himself off. But then the preacher says he sees the singer and
Billy Joe.
Something,
yeah.
Throwing something off the Tallahatchie Bridge.
I don't know. It could have been like their wedding ring. It could have been their love letters. I mean, it could have been the baby. You're right. It could,
I assumed it had something to do with a pregnancy. Maybe because it was such a hot topic at the time that this song was coming out.
Yeah.
And that's what I assumed when I was first listening to this song.
When did this come out?
66, 68. Hold it. Let's check on that. Let's do a little search.
67.
Here. All right.
67. There
67.
You go. Right in the middle. Yeah, I mean, I think it's really fascinating, your interpretation of that, and I think it's also just, like, kind of really telling about how we all kind of deal with these sort of tragedies and just kind of, like, dissociate from them and just kind of be like, oh, that woman just had to, you know, have an abortion or kill her baby, or that guy just killed himself, like, pass the peas. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, what a shame.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And so, yeah, that's the beauty part of it, is that everybody's like, just a person kills themselves and it's like, well, that's a tragedy. You know, they don't really see the consequences, or they don't really feel it.
Mm-hmm. And you could extrapolate that to literally everything we've talked about today, from, again, literal genocide.
Mm-hmm. Yes, true.
To, you know, just like the trauma of millions of women.
Okay.
The further trauma of not being able to control their own bodies in this way. But past the black-eyed peas, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
let's pass the black-eyed peas and play the antecedent of all killer girl groups, the Runaways. At the time that this came out, it was at every crazy party that I went to.
That's so.
And some of them were even rent parties, which don't exist anymore.
You can't see it, but I'm rock and rolling with my hands right now.
Hold it.
Can't stay at home. Just
And so that was Cherry Bomb from, what is it, 1979? Oh, my God. All right. Always contemporary. And here is a song that actually, in a line of it, references Cherry Bomb.
No, I don't like that one. I don't like that. Give me something like, you know? Yeah. And the snare, give me something illicit, like it'll get you in trouble or something. Yeah. And you know, pick it up.
Wanna rumble in my jungle? I'll take you on. Stampede your rumba and send you home. You wanna rumble in space? I'll put my laser on stun. And on the North Pole, I'll ice you, son. You want a thriller in Manila? You'll be killer, be stung. Wanna taste the vanilla? Better watch your tongue. Cause I'll hammer your toe like a pediatrician. Saw you in half like I'm a magician. Tear you down like I'm in demolition. Count you out like a mathematician. I'm so very hot that when I arrive your mansion, you ain't call the cops, you call the fire station. Cause my face is so sweet, you be zoom, zoom, zoom. Don't even get me started on my bada boom, boom. One left, one right, that's how I organize them. You know I fill my cups, no need to supersize them. Right now you're probably thinking how she getting them jeans. Well, I'm gifted all natural and bursting the seams.
Connect you up. Connect you up.
Don't I look tasty like a French bonbon? Even more sweeter than a cherry bomb. Coming with the postman like I'm a mail bomb. In your mouth, make you say yum yum. Hit the gong gong, bring the sumos on. I'ma kick ass all the way to Hong Kong. Make the balls bounce like a game of ping pong. Konnichiwa, bzzz, from Beijing to Saigon. Got nothing on me, cause you know you's a bum. Dom diddy dom, diddy diddy dom dom. Check the scenario, I'ma bust your eardrum and leave your heads ringing with the ring a ding dong. Busy on the mic since the day I was what?
Born.
Check out my style, is the rock of what?
Mo.
Shine is on me like a dog on a what?
Boom.
Fight the power, put myself on the throne. You know it's getting heavy like it weighs a ton. I will run you down like a marathon. Take you up good, put you in the trunk. See you next Tuesday, you is a punk.
Brilliant. Yeah, well.
Wow, that's a great song.
What a great song. We are wrapping up.
Mm-hmm.
We are coming up to the 8. I just want to say one quick thing, because this has been kind of a downer of an episode, but, like, you do, like, everybody has the ability to help people through direct action and through mutual aid, through taking action and calling your senators and representatives, through, you know, knowing your rights and knowing the rights of the people around you, and by, you know, your dollars, mm-hmm. by funding abortion, by funding access to abortion, by funding, you know, travel for people in, like, situations of pregnancy who need to end it, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it's not all doom and gloom out here.
Hey, all it would take is the labor leadership to say, you know, let's think about general strikes for political purposes.
Exactly. So the key is to organize.
Mm-hmm. That is
which
right.
Which is why we're here. And on that note, that is all the time we have. Tune in 7 p.m. on the next first Tuesday of the month, which is January 2nd. Holy crap. All right.
Mm-hmm. All right. If you're interested in joining the DSA, you may join at dsausa.org, where you'll find many levels of membership to comport with your finances, or you may find out more at Capital District DSA, that's all one word, .org.
Yeah. And we are a resource to you if you need it, if you want more information on anything we've talked about. Email us. Our email is on the Capital District DSA.org website. You don't need to join necessarily if you just want more information on abortion care. And if you want more information, you know, on Palestine and how you can use your power to help, you can reach out to us. There are two types of organization for social change. Ones that rely upon members' dues and the others that rely upon donations. DSA is the dues-reliant type. It doesn't spend its time hustling for donations and sucking up to donors, but rather strictly depends upon winning people to its ranks with ideas. So come and hang with us and chat with us and argue with us if you want to.
That's right. That's the important point, too.
Yeah.
All right. Here's our outro.